we're coming to. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can in the Situation Room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that I say, or you hear somebody else say on this program, and you check it out with the word of God. Because if I or anyone try to put something on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth that's found in the word of God. We don't have to be afraid to tell the truth because God is on our side. We don't have to be afraid to stand up for the truth because God is on our side. We don't have to bag up or shed up, but we can stand up and speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you're getting the truth out the word of God, then God is indeed on your side. Good morning. Welcome, welcome, welcome this morning to the Situation Room. We hope and pray that you have been having a good day. It is indeed a plumb pleasure to have you this morning in this Situation Room. You know, it's just a blessing. You know, it's just a blessing how God got this thing set up. It's just a blessing that, number one, to know that God the Father loves us. And then, number two, he sent his only begotten Son in this world to die for us. But then he has sent his Holy Spirit to indwell us and to keep us and to lead us and guide us. And then he has even given us a Bible. You know, the Bible is just like a road map. It can help us get back home. Woo! Look at that. Look how God has just blessed you, ladies and gentlemen. God is indeed in your corner. You know, we got another program here on KLITB called In Your Corner, and God is indeed in your corner. Even though you fighting that devil, hey, you got a good corner. God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit is in your corner. All right, we have a wonderful program for you today. Just a wonderful program today. Today is the day that we focus in on our Bible questions, our Bible questions and answers. But before we get to those Bible questions, let me just give some contact information just in case you or somebody that you know have a Bible question or a question that pertaining to the Christian life or marriage question. You even have a hot topic you want us to discuss here in the Situation Room, you can email them in at BibleWayIrvin@gmail.com. That's BibleWayIrvin@gmail.com. Or you can call them in at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. And those of you who are at the church, at Bible Way Community Baptist Church, you can just drop them in the offering basket on Sunday. You can just write it out, a card or something, put it on a lit card or piece of paper, and put it in the offering basket. And those trustees and ushers, they'll make sure that I get it. All right, all right, all right. All right, let's go ahead and look at some Bible questions this morning. I got my Bible. All right, hopefully you got your Bible, but just in case you don't have your Bible, we'll call the scripture app where you can write the Bible reference down, and that way you can check it out later on when you have time. All right, this question, we didn't have a chance to answer it the last time, so we're going to answer it this time. Did Jesus have any brothers or sisters? Did Jesus have any brothers or sisters? Yes, yes, Jesus did have brothers and sisters. Now, you'll find that written in Matthew Gospel, Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew is the first book of the New Testament. It's the book called St. Matthew. Matthew chapter 13. Beginning with verse number, let me just start reading at verse 53 through 56. 53 through 56. Matthew chapter 13, verses 53 through 56. It says, "And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he had come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogues, in so much that they were astonished and said, Whence has this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, James, Joseph, and Simon, and Judah, and Judas, and his sister, are they not all with us? Whence then has this man all these things?" So Jesus had left town, but then he came back into his country, and he came back working miracles and having this good teaching, and they said, "Man, is this not the carpenter's son? You know, isn't that Joseph boy?" That's what they was basically saying. "And ain't that Mary baby? And his brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas." So Jesus had four brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. And then he had some sisters. They didn't name his sisters, but he had more than one sister, because the scripture said in verse 56, "and his sisters," with an S. So he at least had two sisters. So Mary at least had what? Seven children at least. Because Jesus was the oldest boy. Remember, Jesus was her firstborn son, because Mary, remember, she was a virgin when she had Jesus. But then she had these other children. She had James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. And then he had at least two sisters. He may have had even more than two sisters. He may have had three sisters, four sisters, five sisters. We don't know. But he had at least two sisters and four brothers that's mentioned right here in the text. All right. So, did Jesus have any brothers or sisters? Yes. According to verse number 55, he had four brothers. And then verse 56, he had some sisters. So, he at least had two sisters. All right. That's the scripture. And also, you can look over in John chapter 7, verse number 5. That tells us that his brothers early on, they didn't believe in him. So you can check that scripture out. So that lets us know that he had some brothers. And then when you look over even in Acts chapter 1, verse number 14, after the resurrection, the Bible says his brothers did believe in him, because they were in the upper room with the 120. That was 120 in that upper room. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brothers was there, what the scripture says. That's Acts 1 and 14. So that lets us know right there. And then Galatians chapter 1, verse number 19. Paul says, but others of the apostles saw I none save James, the Lord's brother. And so Paul says, I didn't see, when I first got my calling into the ministry, I didn't see those other apostles, but I did see James, the Lord's brother. So it was common knowledge that Jesus had some other brothers and sisters. Yeah. So that answers your question. Did Jesus have brothers or sisters? Let's move on to the next question. Next question. Question two. Is reincarnation biblical or taught in the Bible? Is reincarnation, is that biblical or is reincarnation taught in the Bible? No, reincarnation is not taught in the Bible, and nor is it biblical. It's not biblical, and the Bible don't really talk about reincarnation. See, reincarnation is really the devil's lie. That's what reincarnation is. The devil told Eve that she would not die. You remember that? Over there in Genesis chapter 3, Eve told the devil, if we eat off the tree of knowledge of good and evil, God says we're going to die. But the devil says, you know, that old snake says, no, you're not going to die, because God knows in the day that you eat of this fruit, your eyes going to become open and you're going to be just like God. But that was a lie. That was a lie. See, the devil basically just lied to Eve, and he was a liar then, and he's still lying. In reincarnation, you die, but you come back as somebody else in order to pay for your past sins and past lives. So in one sense, you really don't die. You just recycle in and you recycle out. But that's a lie from the devil. You do die. Yeah. See, the Bible says after death come the judgment. It don't say you come back here and you recycle in and you recycle out. You come back, you was a man, and next time you come back as a woman, and then the next time you come back as a cow, then the next time you come back as a pig. No. You know, see, what's happening today is a lot of people are coming to America from these foreign countries, and they're bringing their religious belief with them, such as reincarnation, with them. And therefore, when people read their Bible, they are superimposing on the Bible something that's really not there. You know, In Bible school, they tells us to, the professor say we need to exegete the text. Exegete means that you go there to the Bible and you lift out. It's like you're mining. You go there and you lift out and you present to the people what's there. But when you are exegeting the text, you go there and you start putting stuff in the Bible that's not there. No. And that's what happens a lot of times. People, because they coming from a reincarnation background, when they read the scripture, certain scriptures, it looks like that scripture is talking about reincarnation, because that's the background which they come from. But that's superimposing stuff on the scripture. That's eisegeting stuff. That's putting stuff in the Bible, not taking stuff that's already in the Bible and then lifting it out. See, some people say, let me give you an example. See, some people say that John the Baptist was the reincarnation of Elijah because of what the angel told Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, in Luke chapter 1, verse number 17. Look at that, at Luke chapter 1, verse number 17. It says, he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the father to the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to wisdom, to them for wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So you see that, beloved? You see that, beloved? Now, people, they'll look at that scripture and they'll say, see, John the Baptist is really going to be Elijah. No, that ain't what the scripture says. It says he's going to come in the spirit of Elijah, but not the reincarnation of Elijah, but the spirit of Elijah. For example, you know, I have a natural son who's a preacher, and people who have saw him preach and heard him preach, they said, boy, you know, he's just like his daddy. In other words, he has the spirit of Pastor Wilbert, but he's not Pastor Wilbert. In the same way, John the Baptist reminded the people of Elijah, that he's doing things like Elijah, but he was not Elijah. Just like my son. My son is, he's one person, and I'm a totally separate person from him. Yeah, even though he do things a lot like me, and that reminds you of Pastor Wilbert, he's not Pastor Wilbert. He's his own man. Notice also what John the Baptist said. Notice what John the Baptist said in John chapter 1. Let's look at that. John chapter 1, verses 19 to 23, when the religious leaders came and they asked John, who was he? Look at what John says in John chapter 1, verse number 19 through verse number 23. It says, and this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? So you see, this delegation came from Jerusalem, and they asked John, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I'm not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elijah? Notice, they asked John, art thou Elijah? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Then they said unto him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What said thou of thyself? Verse 23, he says, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. Notice, John, they asked John clearly, John, are you the Christ? He said, no. He said, are you Elijah then? And John told them clearly, no, I'm not Elijah. So John didn't see himself as a reincarnation of Elijah that was brought back from the grave. You know, even when Elijah, he was taken in a whirlwind, remember? Before a person can be reincarnated, they have to first of all die. And Elijah never died. He was taken away by a whirlwind. That's called in the 2 Kings chapter 2, verse number 11. And so Elijah really never died. So how can he be reincarnated? Because he never really died. He was kind of just raptured up. Also, the Bible says that Moses and Elijah appeared with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration over in Matthew chapter 17, verse number 3. Notice, it didn't say that John the Baptist but Elijah. It said Elijah. It didn't say John the Baptist appeared with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. It said Elijah. It didn't say the reincarnation of John. It said Elijah. See, when we die and come back, we don't come back here as somebody else. Moses came back as Moses. Elijah came back as Elijah. Even when Jesus came back from the grave, he didn't come back as somebody else. When Jesus got up on that Easter morning, that resurrection morning, Jesus got up. Jesus died, buried, and it was the same Jesus that was dead and buried. He came back from the grave. He even showed them his hands. He said, look at my hands. Look at the nail prints in my hand. Look at the spear print in my side. So you don't come back in no reincarnation. See, we as Christians, we don't believe in reincarnation. We believe in the resurrection. Amen. Amen. That's why we bury our bodies, because we believe that God is going to take that same body up one day, and he's going to glorify that body. All right. So we believe in the resurrection, not in reincarnation. Let's see. Can I get another question in? Look like I got just enough time to get another question in. Why did people live longer back in Bible days than they do today? Good question. Why did people live longer back in Bible days than they do today? Well, the reason people don't live so long today is because of the sinfulness of man. God is trying to control the sinfulness of man, because man is so sinful. Listen to me, beloved. Man is so sinful, God had to shorten man's days. Yeah, because man is a sinful creature. It's in God's perfect will now. Man was not ever supposed to die. Remember, God told man in Genesis 3, don't eat off this tree of knowledge of good and evil, because the day that you eat of it, you're going to surely die. If man would have never ate off of that tree, then man could have lived forever. But because he ate off that tree, it opened up a whole new world. Man fell into the permissive will of God and not the perfect will of God. So death is really the permissive will of God, not so much the perfect will of God. And so man died. But the lifespan of man after, you know, Adam's sin, Adam lived, 900 and some years. And Methuselah lived 969 years. So the lifespan of man early on back in the book of Genesis, it was about 900 years. But because man had came to the point of being so wicked, God had to shorten man's lifespan. Don't you remember over in the book of Genesis, God told Noah that man's lifespan, matter of fact, let me just get that for you right quick. That's in Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Let me just turn there right quick. Genesis chapter 6. God told man, beginning with verse number 1 through 3, and it came to pass when the men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God, and that's a phrase dealing with the angels, and in this case, demonic angels, saw the daughters of men, that they was fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. So God shortened the lifespan of man to about 120 years because of the wickedness of man. That's what God is doing. You know, today, the lifespan, what, is about 70 to 80 years. But what God has done, He has shortened the lifespan of man. Can't you imagine if you had to live in an evil world that was getting wickeder and wickeder day by day, and you had to live around the meanest, the selfish people, and people kept getting wickeder and kept getting selfish all your life for 800 or 900 years. Just can't you imagine? I mean, even the how the world is today, the world is bad. Can't you imagine you got to put up with this for, let's say you 50 years old, you got to put up with this for another 850 years, and it's going to get worse than this for another 850 years? This would just about kill you. And you had to live with this diseased body that we got. And your body kept getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And it was going to get worse for 900 years. So God, in one sense, in His mercy, said that man's life would be no more than 120 years old. God is using death to go on and take your own out, so you won't have to see all of the misery. So you won't have to experience all of this misery. God said, hey, 70, 80 years is enough on that planet. Let me get you on out of here. And so it's a blessing. It's a blessing in one sense. It's a blessing in one sense. So God has taken what supposed to be a curse, death, and has turned it into a blessing. So that way, we can just go on home now and be with the Lord. So isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a blessing when your life is over with down here? Well, the Bible says we got a building from God that's not even made with hands, high in the heavens. So God is a good God, ladies and gentlemen. And so I'm thankful to Almighty God that God won't let trouble last always. All right. That's it for today in the Situation Room. Thank you so kindly for joining us today in the Situation Room. We hope something was said, something was done to help you and encourage you on your Christian journey. Let me encourage you now to stay with us the rest of the day. Remember, our format here at KLITB is at the top of the hour, we minister in the Word, and at the bottom of the hour, we minister in the mix. That's music and a whole lot more. So, at 9 o'clock, we're going to take a look in the book. I'll let you listen to a portion of a sermon that I preach right here at Bible Way Community Baptist Church, a wonderful church right here in Irving, Texas. If you're ever in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, you just got to stop by and worship the Lord with us right here at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. Then at 10 o'clock, that's time for a program called Unshackled. It's a radio drama, and it'll make you face yourself and think. Then at 11 o'clock, we'll take a deeper look in the book. I'll let you listen to a portion of our Wednesday night Bible study. We have folks who are not even members of our church, but they love our Wednesday night Bible study. Then at 12 o'clock, and missed any of these programs, guess what? We begin to rebroadcast them. So listen to us all day long. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell a co-worker about us, because we're in your corner right here in the Situation Room. God bless you. Have a good day.